Hello, you are tuned into another episode of Mountain Song and Story right here on Radio Bristol. I'm your host, Tony Doman, and here on this program each week, I find and feature themes relating to Appalachian culture and folk life, and then play songs and feature stories all about our topic of choice. Today, I am featuring a program about eagles. And we'll be talking about some local eagle viewing cameras. We actually have several in the area, including the ETSU Eagle Cam, the Bluff City, Tennessee, and Johnson City, Tennessee Eagle Cameras. These cameras are meant for viewers and the public to share, learn, and communicate about native bald eagles. I will also be talking with Birthplace of Country Music Museum volunteer and ETSU Eagle Cam volunteer, Miss Mary Geiger, who will be joining me here in just a bit to talk about animal advocacy, viewing native wildlife, and more ways that you can volunteer for so many of these different things. So please stick around and stay tuned for a wonderful and insightful conversation with Mary. Okay, so first up, as always, we got to get some music, some fitting music to get things going. Here's Lena Horne with The Eagle and Me.
Likes to flow, eagle, it likes to fly, eagle, it likes to feel its wings against the sky, possum, it likes to run, ivy, it likes to climb, bird in the tree, and bumblebee want freedom in autumn or summertime. Ever since the day when the world was an onion, it was natural for the spirit to soar and play the way the Lord wanted it, free as the sun is free. That's how it's got to be. Whatever is right for the
Horn there with The Eagle and Me, kicking off today's program here on Mountain Song and Story. So we are talking all about eagles. Now, I've done some shows on birds in the past, but we haven't done a program just on the eagle yet. So I'm excited about today's show and every show. So here's a couple quick fun facts about bald eagles. We're talking about bald eagles specifically, I might have to add. So the bald eagle is the United States national bird. Of course you know that. It's an easily recognizable species. A sort of new thing, I would say, or at least new thanks to the internet, is live streams of wildlife. And so there are these live stream cameras here in the Tri-Cities specifically, where viewers can tune in and see what's going on specifically in the nests of these birds. So it's really, really interesting. There's three different cameras here in the local area. You've got the, you've got the ETSU Eagle Cam over in Johnson City and the Bluff City Eagle Cam, which are cameras. They live stream. You can go to YouTube and you can just watch these nests of these amazing animals and check them out. It's really, really interesting. And again, we're going to have Miss Mary Geiger coming on here in just a bit to talk a little bit more about being a volunteer with the ETSU Eagle Cam and all about all that. So we're so excited and thankful to get to talk to Mary about that. So please stick around and stay tuned for that interview. But these cameras have become very popular in recent years, and they're not just here in this area. They're all across the country. Thousands of people tune in daily to these types of live streams. One of the most interesting things viewers can observe is the eggs hatching. Volunteers operate these cameras, and some of them are installed on private land. And it's an incredible way for both the public, both local and beyond, to really see nature up close. Some interesting things about bald eagles. Eagles are no longer endangered. During the 1970s, bald eagles were seriously endangered, but they've made a comeback, and in 2007, they were removed from the federal endangered species list. Of course, they are the national emblem of the United States since 1782. Beating out the elusive turkey suggestion by Ben Franklin. I still think that would have been a really great national bird myself. The turkey has a lot going for it. Also, bald eagles aren't actually bald. Those are just feathers. They build really, really large nests. They need large nests because they're very large birds. Bald eagle nests are about 5 to 6 feet in diameter and 2 to 4 feet tall. And if you want to check out what they look like, again, the live streams that I just talked about are pointed directly at them. So it really is fascinating to see them up close and nearly in person. You can find out more information about bald eagles if you visit the Mountain Song and Story program page after today's show. I'll have all the links up there so you can go and check out some of these live streams, and you can go read more about this type of information. So, again, here in just a bit, I'll be airing a great conversation with Miss Mary Geiger about these local wildlife viewing cameras and talking about why it's so important to educate the public about native wildlife. So again, stick around and stay tuned for that. I got another song here for you before we get to that. Chicken and the Hawk from Big Joe Turner.
Jet. Well, I'll start flying like a V8 single. She's been there. God knows she's been there. She has seen and done it all. She's a woman. She knows how to dish it out or take it all. Her heart's as soft as feathers. Still she weathers stormy skies. And she's a sparrow when she's broken. But she's an eagle when she flies. A kaleidoscope of colors. You can toss her round and round. You can keep her in your vision, but you'll never keep her down. She's a lover. She's a mother. She's a friend, and she's a wife, and she's a sparrow when she's broken, but she's an eagle when she flies. Gentle. Her faith and pride. She's an everlasting shoulder. She's the leaning post of life. She hurts deep, and when she weeps, she's just as fragile as a child. And she's a sparrow when she's broken. But she's an eagle when she flies. She's a sparrow when she's broken. But she's an eagle when she flies. Oh, bless her, Lord. She's an eagle.
Dolly Parton there with Eagle When She Flies, and right before that we heard Chicken and the Hawk from Big Joe Turner there. Okay, folks, well, it is about time for us to tune into our interview and conversation with Mary Geiger, all about the Eagle Cams here in this area and animal advocacy. We're going to go ahead and take a listen to this conversation. Once again, we definitely thank Mary for being here with us today and speaking about this really great opportunity that she is so involved with. So let's go ahead and dive on in and see what Mary has to say. All right, so joining me now is Mary Geiger. Mary is a volunteer here at the Birthplace of Country Music, and recently we did a volunteer newsletter feature on her, and I saw that she was into so many different things, including being a being involved with the ETSU Eagle Cam. And since we are talking about eagles here on the show, I thought, well, we've got to talk to Mary. So Mary, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for taking the time to come in and talk to me here today.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm always glad to try to promote the the Eagles, ETSU, NIST particularly, but in general as well.
Yeah. Well, let's just start with, just tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and particularly your involvement with BCM. So how did you get started being a volunteer here? I know that you've been involved for a really long time and you used to actually work here, correct?
I started as a volunteer when it was simply Bristol Rhythm and Roots Reunion before it became BCM. And I was volunteering in the office. At that time, there was only the executive director, Leah Ross, and myself as a volunteer. Shortly after that, I came on board as a part-time, just office presence, and did that for maybe 3 or 4 years as the organization grew, and then went back to being a volunteer again. So, of course, when the museum was getting ready to open and they put out a call for volunteers, you know, I thought, why not? You know, I was very naive. I hate to admit this, having grown up in Bristol, but I didn't know the story of the Bristol Session. I didn't know about the musical heritage of our area. So I really wanted to find out what the museum story was. And so it was part of the original volunteer corps in 2014.
Wow. Yeah. You know, it's so interesting you say that too, because so many folks around the local area are constantly saying that they didn't know about the story here, or they'll come to the museum and just be educated about the regional history. And I think that's just another thing that's so great about it. And there's so many local people that I'm constantly running into that have said, I haven't even been in the museum yet, you know, and it's right here. I've lived in Bristol my whole life. So your face is not a stranger to BCM. I feel like I've seen you in every area of doing things here since I've been on board. So according to the newsletter and just from speaking with you in person multiple times before COVID, Mary, you're a big animal lover as well, and you're a huge advocate for educating the public on rescue efforts and adoption. And you also have a lot of pets and have had different pets throughout the years. So in the newsletter, you talked a little bit about some of those different pets and things you do with animals. So tell us a little bit about some of the pets you've had. I'm always interested in the ferrets especially. Yeah.
I grew up with dogs. And then as an adult, after I returned to Bristol and started working, I just bumped into a circle of animal advocacy friends who were involved in diverse efforts. So I particularly after I retired, I devoted myself in any capacity I could to help. There were a group of us, probably about a dozen people, who pounded on the door of the Sullivan County Commission to allow volunteers in the shelter. And it was, it was a tough task to get them to see the light, that the volunteers could not only help, but they could extend the hours so people could get there to adopt. And it was basically cost effective. So there was a core group of us that were the original volunteers in the animal shelter. And that was, that was a real eye opener. And then I backed into ferrets. When my last dog passed away, I was traveling, so getting another dog really wasn't practical. And I thought, well, So I thought, I'll get a bird. So I went to the pet store, and they had strategically placed a cage of ferrets by the front door. And that was all she wrote. I became a ferret owner and met with a bunch of other ferret owners. And bottom line, we ended up establishing a nonprofit adoption rescue education, because universally with ferrets, but really with all pets, people get them on impulse. And then, a month later, 6 months later, the novelty is worn off. Nobody has time. The children aren't paying attention. So the animals either get neglected or turned loose or turned into the shelters. So the key is education. Education before you purchase an animal or before you go to the shelter and adopt an animal to see what fits with your home and your lifestyle and who will be responsible for the tasks of taking. It's a lifetime commitment, you know, and sadly, not everybody realizes that. That education and neuter spay are the solutions to the overpopulation and the sad, sad stories of the animals out there who don't have homes.
Yeah. So I'm also wondering, now we're kind of talking about this sort of education, before we talk about the raptors here, what are some ways that you do that sort of educating the public? Like, is that done through, I know, you know, obviously through volunteers, but what are some actual ways that you're getting out there to get those messages across?
Right, right. Well, our organization put together a free information packet for prospective and new ferret owners. And there was an adoption process. There was an application and a screening process, pretty in-depth. And part of that was because it was really important for day-to-day care and then for long-term care. And now, I mean, with the internet, all people have to do if they're thinking about a particular type of pet is to Google it. And there's just a wealth of information on making a good decision on selection of a pet. So I just encourage people to put the work in before they get a pet. It saves a lot of grief for the pet and for the human family.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're so right about the internet. Oh my gosh, that's a wonderful aspect of it, is you can really do your own research about what works for you and and even find pets that need that are eligible for adoption. I know this is really off topic, but there's this great YouTube channel out there. I think it's called Clint's Reptiles, and it's just one man who is just educating viewers on reptiles, or like this spider, or how big the care is for this really specific, you know, gecko or something that a lot of people might go to the pet store and see a lizard and think it's so easy, you know, but really they require so much different special care than a cat or a dog or anything. So
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, talking about raptors, let's talk about the raptors. I like to call them that, eagles, raptors.
Part of the raptor family for sure. Yeah. And let me preface this by saying, on the yardstick of raptor and specifically eagle education, I am on the more shallow end. But speaking of the internet, people who want to learn in-depth knowledge about the eagles in particular, I'm going to give you a website that they can Google and go to. And this is a woman who started in 2006 researching and documenting more than you'd ever want to know about eagles. I mean, really, it's just a wonderful website. She has information on breeding and growth and development and measuring, and it's a fascinating site, and it's called Elf Ruler, one word, ELFRULER.com. So that lady is the expert. I became involved in 2018 when a good friend of mine and her husband showed me the website for the Johnson City Nest. We have two eagle nests in the Tri-Cities area that the ETSU eagle cams are on. And one is called the Johnson City Nest, and the other is the Bluff City Nest. They are on private property, but the owners of the property allowed ETSU to come in and install cameras so that they could be monitored. The Johnson City Nest, they started in 2016 with the cameras, and the Johnson City Nest pair were named Shima and Noshi, and that was Native American for mother and father. And then the city nest, it is Francis and Eugene, and they're named after the property owner, the original property owners. So those are the nests that one can watch now on YouTube. All you need to do is Google ETSU Eagle Cams and then click on Live Cam, and it'll take you to watch on YouTube. And there's a chat that you can read as well. And you can, there is an admin and moderators, and those are the people that give correct information. So you know, they know what they're talking about.
Yeah, and so the ETSU Eagle Cams and the two local ones, there are more out there. Am I correct in understanding that? Yeah, this is just like the local area of this really big initiative, correct?
Absolutely. You can Google Eagle Cams, and there are dozens all over the country. From Alaska all the way down through Florida. So at any given point throughout the year, you can Google laying of eggs, and hatching is determined by the degree of sunlight. So for instance, right now, there is an eagle cam on a Hilton Head Island nest and an eagle cam on a Southwest Florida nest. And both of those have already laid two eggs. The eggs have hatched, and the little eaglets are about 3 weeks old now. We here in our area, the adults will start laying eggs at the end of January, early February. And it's fascinating to watch the behavior as that time approaches. Eagles mate throughout the year, but there's only like a 2 week window during which the female is fertile. And so even though they mate throughout the year, there's much more mating wrapped around that fertile time. And then when the female is getting ready to lay the eggs, watching her is fascinating. I mean, Mother Nature is just awesome in the true sense of the word. Because she sort of goes into a zone, and she may make little chittering noises, and you can actually see her sides quivering a little bit. So you can tell that the egg is coming down through the oviduct. And, you know, it's just fascinating to read the commentary while that's happening.
Wow. Yeah. It's really neat. I love that you share so much on social media. You know, that's how I knew about it, is because of you personally just sharing, and that's how other people can learn about these efforts to protect wildlife. Why is it so important that this is in the local area right now? You know, eagles, I never remember, you know, I grew up in West Virginia, but I never remembered seeing them really around until the last couple years. And it's pretty much the same area here in Southwest Virginia. So why is it so important for this conservation effort to be here locally?
Well, in the 1950s, the bald eagle population was nearly extinct because of the use of DDT in agriculture, and that created eggshells that were so soft that they couldn't bear the incubation for an eaglet to survive. And then DDT was outlawed. So that started an effort by a lot of conservation groups to monitor and see if and how well the eagles came back. So there are research and monitoring facilities all over the country doing that very thing and watching for other potential things. Federal and state laws went into effect. It is a federal law to interfere in any manner with an eagle. It's a federal offense, as a matter of fact, with hefty fines and or jail time. You can't approach an eagle. You can't be within a certain number of feet of an eagle's nest. You aren't allowed to possess any eagle. If you see a feather on the ground, you really are not supposed to pick it up. The only Native Americans are the only ones allowed to have eagle feathers because of their heritage and close connection with eagles. So it's a protection now, and that's why we see more of them, because they really have come back. And a lot of rehab centers, we're very lucky to have a rehab center, the American Eagle Foundation, that is in Pigeon Forge on land donated by Dolly Parton. It's not the at Dollywood, but a rescue rehab. And they just do wonderful work down there. And that's where the Eagle Challenger, that's his home. He's the eagle that flies at inaugurations and Super Bowls and football games and World Series. He was found fallen out of a nest in Mississippi, I believe, in the Delta area somewhere. And some humans took him in and took care of him for a while and then turned him over to a rehab center. But he had been humanly imprinted by then. And they tried to rehabilitate and release him twice, and both times were unsuccessful. He approached humans for food. So you can imagine being out in the park somewhere, and here comes this eagle up to you wanting to share your lunch. You know?
Oh, no. Yeah.
So they knew there would be no good end to him unless they brought him in. So he was donated to the AEF, and one gentleman there glove trained him to fly out and fly back to the glove. So he became an ambassador, huge educational tour. He's just recently retired. But I went for a tour of the facility a couple of years ago before the COVID struck, and, you know, was standing 3 feet away from him. And it was just an absolute thrill of a lifetime to be that close to him. And he just talk and chatter. Very used to people.
Yeah. Boy, they are really incredible birds. I mean, I once visited a raptor center when I went to Alaska at the Alaska. I can't remember the name of it specifically, but, you know, eagles are just everywhere up there. I went visited a friend, and I mean, I'm like in awe of every eagle that passes by. And she's like, oh, we see them. I see them every single day. They're like crows at home. You know, they're everywhere. But they did the rehabilitation center up there. And it was really, I mean, it's the same experience. It's really incredible to be so close to them and to see how big they are. I mean, they're huge. They really are.
They are huge. And they are larger in Alaska than in our area, because of needing more body bulk for the temperatures up there. And interestingly enough, as big as the bald eagles are, the golden eagles are bigger. So I just can't imagine. And within the eagle, the bald eagle world, well, the eagle world, the female is always larger than the male.
So yeah.
If you see a pair, the larger of the two is the female.
Okay. Yeah. Well, how has the pandemic kind of caused some challenges? Has it caused any challenges, or has it kind of almost like so many digital things, because it's, you can watch and live stream what's happening. Do you have more viewers kind of gotten involved, and, or has it been a challenge to kind of navigate the pandemic?
Probably more viewers with people at home and in isolation. As far as impacting the actual operation, I don't think I don't believe there's been a negative impact at all. Most of the camera operators, they do that remotely anyway. One of our best camera operators lives in Pennsylvania, and she is a camera operator for both our local NAS. And the others live in Gray and Johnson City. And I was a cam operator last year on an emergency basis. So you do everything remotely from your computer.
Yeah. So what exactly does that entail, being a camera operator? Is that just making sure things are working? So the stream, or are you going up there and filming the nest, you know, climbing up?
No, we don't, the only people allowed to go to the nest are technicians, repair work. We have a real cute picture of, they were installing a new camera head in the Johnson City nest, and it's 80 feet up, a pine tree. So you don't easily climb up and down it. And Brandon, the climber, was up in the nest and he needed a part. So one of the ground crew ran to get the part, and he's just sitting there in the nest waiting. It's like, look at this odd eagle we have in our nest, you know.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Camera operation is, it's technology. So it was learning to understand how the system worked, but also there is a manual dexterity to it that I was the least good of our camera operators last year. It's a hand-eye coordination following the eagles in flight. And I could do it somewhat, but not nearly as good as some of the others who could just follow them indefinitely out of the nest and then back into the nest again.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So,
Once the chicks are born, and watching them develop is just pure entertainment. A lot of laughs, watching, being in awe of nature. I mean, they come out the first 3 weeks, they fight because it's survival of the fittest. So one egg will hatch, and then a couple of days later, a second egg will hatch, and they just start beating up on each other. And when you're a new viewer, you think, oh my Lord, they're gonna kill each other.
I know, yeah.
But that, you know, they get over it in about 3 weeks, particularly when there's a healthy food supply. And then just watching their interactions, their personalities. In 2018, the Johnson City nest had three chicks, three eggs, which is unusual. And the middle was the bigger of the three, the biggest of the three. So we were pretty sure by her size and her attitude that she was a female. And her brothers just sort of tolerated her behavior. But they were hilarious watching them grow up until they fledged. They would just do so many funny things. And watching as they get stronger, and as their wings get stronger, and as they get on the rails of the nest and start flapping to strengthen themselves. And then finally fledging at about 12 weeks. And then figuring out how to land. I mean, yeah. Instead of landing, we had one, JC Ken, one of the three, came in for a landing and only got to the lip of the nest. So he was just hanging on the lip of the nest and couldn't pull himself up. So he finally let go, and you could hear him chattering all the way down, like, darn,
oh,
I didn't know that. He was fine.
He
got back to the nest, but it was funny. I thought, he's eagle cussing all the way down.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So it sounds like that's a really enjoyable part about this. Is that what you like most about being involved in this? What do you like most about being involved as a volunteer?
Really the education. The education and the entertainment value, and watching nature. I mean, 75% of it is wonderful. The other 25% is tragic. And sometimes it's very hard to watch, but you have to have the mindset that, you know, this is nature, the good and the bad. The Bluff City nest is so far into private property that you don't see the eagles at all, unless you are on a roadside and they just happen to fly by. But anyone who wants to see the Johnson City eagles can go to Wing Deer Park and go to the gazebo and walk to the front of the gazebo and look straight up, and you'll see the eagle tree. And on windy days particularly, you'll see them flying around.
Wow. Oh my gosh. That's really neat that you can see them. But I also really value that it being on private land, the other nest, or in public land, you know, it just feels like an extra layer of protection.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, both of them are on private land.
Oh, yeah.
Even though you can see the one nest from Wingdale Park, it's still on private property.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Monitored very carefully by the owners.
Yeah.
In fact, the owners and their next door neighbors were the ones who spotted the eagles back in 2016 and contacted the bioscience department at ETSU, and that was the impetus for starting the eagle cams.
Wow. Well, it's a really interesting thing that it's here in this area, especially. I'm constantly learning about new things here through this program and doing these shows and talking to people. And it's just great that you're out there educating folks on so many different things, especially animal advocacy, because it's so important.
And we welcome anyone who wants to participate on any level with any of the rescue groups. I mean, we have a wealth of them in our area, Holly Health and Chain Free, and all the shelters could always use volunteers or people to transport. Or, I mean, there's many different capacities to volunteer, as with the museum. You know, you don't have to be one particular thing, have a diversity of hats to put on, so to speak.
Well, Mary, we're about out of time. We're running out of time here. But before we go, where can people go to learn more about the ETSU Eagle Cam? And I will have links to everything that you tell me on the Radio Bristol website after today's program, so people can, if they find their way there, they can go and learn more about some of these things we're talking about.
The simplest way is simply to Google ETSU Eagle Cams, and it'll take you to a website, and the website has the history of each year and a wealth of information about our two local nests as well. And then for in-depth knowledge, the elfinrule.com is, just the perfect website. Elf Ruler. And books, of course, books.
Yes, books are always great.
Well, thank you. Thank you for letting me blab on about eagles.
Well, thank you for talking about them. This has been really fun. Thank you, Mary.
Okay, take care.
Into town on the back of a big silver eagle, strapped to his shoulders are the burden of staying on top, and the lines in his face tell the story of an uphill flight. You can tell how he feels day by the songs that he writes. He's loved by millions, somehow he's their prisoner as well. As he rides down the road in his tin-wheel aluminum sail, now he lives for the day that the eagle will carry him home. Cause the glamour is over, nearly all of his seeds have been sown. Let him go, silver eagle. There must be a better way of life for this great American poet, who's singing his songs about the everyday working man's life. One night on the road just south of the Idaho line, we were smoking some contracts and attempting to alter our minds. Then just before daylight, Hag pushed back his hat and he said,
"Are we putting too much emphasis on being a star? Can't we do a little bit of living instead?"
Let him go, Silver Eagle. There must be a better way of life for this great American poet who's singing his songs about the everyday working man's life. Let him go, Silver Eagle. There must be a better way of life. This great American poet who's singing his songs about
the Eagle and his Captor. A man once caught an eagle after clipping his wings, turned him loose among the fowls in the henhouse, where he mopped in a corner, looking very dejected and forlorn. After a while, his captor was glad enough to sell him to a neighbor, who took him home and let his wings grow again. As soon as he had recovered the use of them, the eagle flew out and caught a hare, which he brought home and presented to his benefactor. The fox observed this and said to the eagle, "Don't waste your gifts on him. Go and give them to the man who first caught you. Make him your friend, and then perhaps he won't catch you and clip your wings a second time." Stanley there. We also heard a quick little Aesop's Fable folktale called The Eagle and His Captor. I love to throw those in when I can make it work here on this program. And Silver Eagle, a duo song there from George Jones and Merle Haggard. All right, folks, can you believe it? It's about time for me to roll out of here once again. Remember, you can catch this program, Mountain Song and Story, every Thursday at 4 o'clock right here, each and every week on Radio Bristol. You can also check out past programs if you visit the Mountain Song and Story blog page over at listenradiobristol.org. As always, I'll have today's playlist up there and resources from today's show, so you can go and check it out and learn more about eagles in the local area, all these eagle cams that are out there. Go check it out. It's a really, really neat thing. Special thanks again to Mary Geiger for speaking with me today. Thank you so much, Mary. It sure was fun having a conversation about these birds. Folks, once again, my name is Toni Doman. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I will catch you right here next week. I've got one more song for you. Let's see. What can I squeeze in here? I got another one. Here you go. This is another eagle song to take you out with and leave you going. Love the one you're with, Crosby, Stills, and Nash. I'll see you next week.
And you don't remember who you're talking to. Concentration, slip away. Because your baby is so far away.
Well, there's a rose in the distant love.
Don't be angry, don't be sad, but don't sit crying over good times you had. There's a girl right next to you, and she's just waiting for something to do.
And there's a rose in the distant love, and the eagle flies. And if you can't be with the one you love, honey, love the one you're with, love the one you're with, love the one you're with.
Love the one you're with.
Love the one you're with.